Hi, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Here's the kind of emails I get. Rick, would you like to know about an amazing potato peeling coincidence? 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. Rick, a friend of mine, here we go again, a friend of mine dated one of Jamie Lee Curtis's close friends for a few years. This woman insisted that Curtis was missing her high heels. Well, a single high heel. That's not really an accurate way of describing that, I suppose. Not that she was a hermaphrodite, just that the boat was missing the little man. I have...
Are you really reading this?
I have... No, you don't even know what I'm referencing. I could be referencing any number of things. Could be speaking of her uvula. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the city that never sleeps, CNN radio correspondent Brian Blank. Hello, sir.
Hello, thanks for the introduction.
Hey, let me ask you this. Whatever happened to that Steve Kastenbaum guy? Is he still employed there? Did you guys get rid of him?
Well, you know, things aren't working out.
Oh, wow.
I'm kidding. He's down at Duke waiting for that story to break.
Oh, actually.
Yeah, nothing's happened there yet, and I think he'll be there, you know, until something does. Maybe not this week, next week.
All right, okay. So they're going to wait there until they decide to tar and feather that DA and run him out of town on a rail.
Right, knife on?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, what does being run out of town on a rail mean? Does that really just mean being put on a train, or is there some other meaning to that?
Yeah, I think so. You know, probably comes from, you know, when, you know, bums used to ride the rails between different cities and that sort of thing.
Fantastic. So there's this, it says right here, there's this pet food thing that's happening right now, and actually the first word in it is Oregon. Oregon health officials.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys about that.
I had no idea this was actually, so I thought this was more of an East Coast thing. They said there are 38 pet deaths now in Oregon. Are we really the beaver state?
Yeah, apparently. You know,
yes, we are. Probably so.
I'm hearing.
I don't know that it's proudly so. I knew that we weren't the evergreen state. I guess I've lived in the Northwest most of my life, and I've lived here for a decade. I guess I really never knew that we were the beaver state. Well, in any event, so they got, what, 38 different pet deaths? Are these all from one company or one brand of food? Is there anybody even know right now?
No, right now, more than likely those are from different brands, but it's all probably from the same chemical that was stuck in these brands,
right.
This melamine, which seems to have been imported from China. And it's not like you guys are the only state that have these deaths, but it's just that you're a veterinary association in that state has done a pretty good job of collecting, you know, numbers from different veterinarians around the state. And so that's a suspected number of pets that have died.
Well, this is a pretty pet-heavy state. It's a very pet-friendly state, is Oregon.
Yeah. What the big question, though, is how many of these animals have really died due to this from across the country, and nobody really knows. The FDA is still kind of sticking to its 14 number.
Right.
But, they suspect it's a lot larger than that.
And so is there one big clearinghouse website that people can go to figure out? Because I get a lot of people emailing me and saying, well, how can I figure out if I got this the food that's going to kill my dog or whatever? I'm feeding my cat bits of plastic or something. Is there some place people can go? Is there some place, like, list they can find?
I'll tell you should work for CNN because it's a great plug for CNN.com/petfoodrecall. It is one of the only places that you can go really to find a good listing of where all these things are. One of the problems that people have had is that there's so many different companies recalling this food that you have to go to the individual company site and then check their list, if you can even find it on there, to see what's been recalled. So the people over at CNN.com have done a pretty good job of collecting all of that and posting it all up there.
Excellent.
So CNN.com/petfoodrecall.
All right, CNN.com/petfoodrecall. And before we go, I just want to ask you this. Just in your objective journalistic opinion, do you believe that Jamie Lee Curtis looks overtly masculine?
I would have to say, you know, I never really looked at her and thought masculine, but I haven't really seen her much lately.
It's not a thing. So you have no real opinion on that one way or the other, on the aesthetic masculinity of Jamie Lee Curtis?
No.
All right.
No,
see, there you go. Well, thank you for giving us a straight-up answer on that. All
what
right.
Do you,
We were having this discussion about Jamie Lee Curtis and how not unlike Hideous Shrew Ann Coulter, she does have any number of physical features that one traditionally associates with the Y chromosome. So I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just saying that they're both kind of like Ann Coulter, for example. Like she's got those. Like you get the feeling. I've never seen her feet. But you get the feeling...
Ann Coulter's feet?
Yeah, I don't think she has feet as such. I think she has sort of... I get the feeling they're just sort of like the bottoms of big oak trees. You know what I mean? Just hideous root-like appendages that go out in every direction, and she has to keep them strapped inside shoes, and they'll just take over an entire room.
Uh-huh.
That's just my theory. So
right.
If you ever get a chance to inspect her up close, you should let me know.
I'll try and check out her feet if I can.
Yeah, please do that. All right, Brian Blank, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Brian Blank. Sometimes the CNN correspondents just go away with sort of a confused tone of their voice. Let's see. This is Jerry. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi. Jerry. Love. The language. Okay. Let's see. This is Jesse. Hi.
Okay. Are you kidding me?
They are moving right through these with lots of speed and efficiency. Paul, hello.
Phone just not working?
No, define work. Work is such an amorphous term. Such a vague way to describe how things are operating. As I understand it, Jeff McGinley claims, he swears to God that this is the last week that this is going to be the case. The problem here, in case people wonder about this, when we go to the phones and there's nobody there, here's what's happening, is that we have a big bank of phone lines here, just like you have at your office or whatever. But you know, at your office, wherever you work, when somebody calls in, and let's say they call the front desk at your office, and the receptionist says, hey, Amalgamated Widgets, please hold, and she puts them on hold, if they hang up the phone on their end, the light goes out and the line, the line drops. The light is green, the trap is clean. If you put somebody on hold at your office and they hang up on their end, that line blanks out and it frees up and the light goes out. That's not really the case here. When somebody hangs up on the other end, if Scotty screens a call, picks it up, puts it on hold, and the person on the end of the phone hangs up, it doesn't hang up on this end. The light stays there.
But it keeps the line busy,
the
right?
Line stays... The line... That doubly sucks. The line stays busy and it stays lit up and their name stays on the screen. Which sucks on two different levels. One, because we go to the calls like that, the calls are not there. And B, because it keeps the lines busy and it keeps people from actually calling in. So this, they claim this is actually going to be the last week that happens, but we'll see. Let's see. What do we have here? We got the... Rick, Sarah should take her parents... Everybody's talking about this Gustav's place, and I've never even heard of it. Take her parents to Gustav's. We've discovered it's a perfect place to take parents and out-of-town guests. It's local, but not weird. The food is awesome, and you can't go wrong with cheese fondue.
Oh, that sounds good.
Cheese fondue
is fantastic. Has anyone told you where it's located?
No. I think it's on 23rd, but I'm not really sure. I mean, there might be multiple locations.
Yeah, because I think I've seen one on Sandy before.
No. Sandy? I'm sorry, it's beneath me. I shouldn't have done that. Rick, can you please be asking Tim Riley how he used to gather news stories before the advent of the Internet? Was it just from the newspaper? Mike.
No, there used to be a clunky machine called a teletype. Oh, it would go through a forest of trees every day with a big box that would lie on the floor, and it would never stop spitting out news.
That is true. I forgot all about that. I was just going to say that there was an AP wire that I would read things on. There was sort of a... I'd forgotten all about that.
It's a big iron box that used to take up a lot of room.
There used to be at most radio stations. See, I think about this too in terms of doing talk radio. And there was a little bell whenever
clang, clang, clang.
Yeah.
Three bells means bullet.
Clang, clang, clang went the printer. There used to be in most radio stations, like I don't even remember how I did a talk show before the internet. Like, I know I did it. I mean, I was doing talk radio in like 93, 94, whatever. Before the internet happened, but I don't really know how it is that I did preparation. I don't know how I discovered it. I mean, it couldn't just have been USA Today. It must have been something, or this was some newspaper is pulling it out of. But really, if you were to take away the internet at this point, I just don't even know how any of us would do anything, how we would accomplish item one on this program. But there was a big thing called there was a teletype that was hooked to the AP, and the Associated Press was a news gathering organization, and
they're
still
around.
It's still there. Like you'll see the AP, you'll see them. They do a lot of stories for newspapers and whatnot now. But they would send sort of a closed circuit feed to this machine, and the machine in the back room would constantly just be printing and spitting out paper.
You wouldn't use like 99% of it.
No, and at the end of the day, you would. And this was back in the, like in the 80s and 70s and 90s before there was even recycling, so it would all just go to the trash. And so yeah, it's like 3, 4, 5 redwoods every single day would just be incinerated and pulped to make this, you know, to like some weather forecast for, you know, sarsaparilla, you know, Texas. There's something you couldn't even care about. I will say this, though, actually, that at home, I don't think I'll bring these for the listener party, but at home, I have a bunch of teletype printouts from the AP wire, from various things. Like, I have the teletype printout, because they would send an alert whenever big news would happen. And I have the teletype printout that I ripped off and saved from when, I think it's when he died. And it was like a one line. It was urgent, reports are the comedian Sam Kinison has been killed. And I think I ripped that off and saved that one. So that's it, sir. We used to read the newspaper, and there was the Associated Press wire. Now we have the Metro Nurse Service, which loads inefficiently.
It's great. And
poorly. Let's see. Speaking of the history of the show, we have some other listener party stuff we'll talk about. But I should get some of these calls. People are calling for no real reason. We'll get these later on. We'll break bottom of the hour. We'll come back with more of Tim Riley later on next hour, Jim Roop, and so forth. This is Ryan. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, I just heard someone said to go to Gustav's for a cigarette.
Yes, we are not advocating that. We're not saying no to it. We're simply passing along the information for the audience.
Right. Well, Gustav's is at all, but I would suggest that if you want to do something like that, you go to the Rhinelander. I believe it's Southeast Portland. Gustav's is the name of the bar at the Rhinelander. So it's better just go to the original. And also, when you go to the Rhinelander, the fondue is included with your meal, whereas you go to Gustav's, it costs like $7 to feed one person.
Now, isn't the Rhineland, isn't that a kind of beer, Rhinelander? Didn't there used to be some kind of beer, and maybe it was only a Northwest thing, but I'm pretty sure that there was, at one point, there was a kind of beer that they sold in Washington State and Oregon called Rhinelander beer.
Could be, never heard of it.
Might be one of those things. All right.
It's really good food, you know, and the atmosphere is cool, and they have a guy that walks around and plays an accordion, that kind of thing.
I'm unsure. See, you had me until a guy walking around. Keep in mind, I'm not even going on the goddamn dinner. This is Sarah and her parents.
It's true.
I will not be there. Your quasi-boyfriend, he's not going to be there, is he? You're not taking him along.
No, no, no.
All right, okay.
It's just me.
All right.
On the thing about Sailor's Country Kitchen.
Yeah.
I don't know if it still is around, but there used to be a location in Beaverton.
Uh-huh.
Which was the location of choice, because the one on the other side of town, they often had health code violations.
Fantastic. Well done. Somebody told me, I won't mention the name of it, but somebody was mentioning a prominent steakhouse in Oregon, in Portland, and they were saying that apparently if you get a 70 on your health score, they have to close it down and, like, burn the restaurant down and take your license away. And somebody was mentioning a prominent steakhouse here that recently received a 71. So, fantastic. All right, thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Sailor.
I barely knew her.
All right. Scotty, we're probably going to move on for the Gustav's calls. Otherwise, we're really going to have to send an AE out there to start the meter running and build them for the show. So we'll see. If people really have observations about the place, which is fine. I mean, it's, you know, whatever. If that's not the place, is there one of those? What's that place in Milwaukee and Powell where they got the, it's like some Dutch-German place. Is that the Edelweiss place? Is that what that's called?
I don't know.
There's the fondue thing? All right. Well, in any event, we're going to move on. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Rick, have Sarah's parents met Raul in the past? Have they met him at all?
They met him once, briefly.
Have they asked to meet him?
Yes.
So they asked to meet him, and what was your excuse? Why did you say no?
Well, because it's still really early on, and, you know, and hanging out. I just feel like that's too big of a step right
now. Okay, I understand. The Rick Emerson's
not pressuring. No, I mean, they met him, and it's not like, you know, and plus he's working. I mean,
that's convenient.
Yeah, if he wasn't working, I mean, I probably would have asked him if he wasn't.
Okay, I'm simply just making an observation, just asking.
Well, yeah, it's been a couple months, so.
Okay, all right. Well, let's see. Well, I should read these before we do anything else. Let's see. Hold on 1 second while I put these in the correct order. So we'll do these, and then we'll probably take a break, and we'll come back. every time we clear the phones, it just fills up with nothing but Gustav's and Jamie Lee Curtis calls. Let me find, where's my waves folder here? Hold on just a second. And there we go. All right. So we'll do news that hurts here in just a second, and then we'll take a break. 503-733-2970. So we are now, as of today, 2 weeks away from Rick Emerson Listener Party 10. 2 weeks away. Now, and I suppose I can reveal this. I wasn't clear about whether we should reveal this or not, but I will say, because this is going to be, it's Emerson History X, we're going to have two logos probably we're going to end up choosing. This is probably the last day to accept new logos. So if you got a logo for the party, you send it to rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. We're probably going to end up using one of them as like a laminate thing for you, like the all access pass things, and then we'll be using one for the actual party logo and for banners and posters and flyers and whatever. So this is probably your last day to get those in. rick@rickemerson.com, and then we're going to have to make the choice. It is 2 weeks from today. We have confirmed that performing at Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, Emerson History X, will be Hit Me Baby, formerly known as Attack Ships on Fire. They're going to be doing a mini set of hard rock Britney Spears covers. We can also now confirm that the artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band, Emerson Starship, are going to be making a grand reappearance. They were the headlining act at the last one of these we did, which was Listener Party 9 at Savalas, and they were fan-freaking-tastic. So they're going to be performing at this one as well. We can also now reveal that we are going to be, because it is sort of a whole history of the show, and I was in my basement last night, and then I ended up just getting distracted and they didn't get it done. But I was in my basement last night rooting through, because I'm just an obsessive compulsive pack rat nitwit, like a lot of people in radio. So I was going through all of this crap, just the stuff that I have saved from this show, stuff that I guess I must have known at some point would come in handy for something or other. But just the weird things from the history of this program that I found in boxes in my basement. So I'm going to be bringing that here to the station in the next couple of days. But I can tell you, I've got the target from the Tim Riley Gun Fest, the target that Tim Riley fired the gun at back in 2001. We've got George the Skull. We've got the Mystery Noise sound. I've got probably 5 CD-ROMs of photographs of past listener events. I found an air check. I'm not even really sure how we'll display this at the party, but I actually found an air check of my very first day here in Portland.
Wow.
The very first, I wasn't even looking for it. I found it by accident. And normally I'm terrible at labeling those air checks. You look at my basement and it's like boxes of tapes that have no labeling on, no identification. You have to listen to them to figure out what they are. And I hate listening to my own show, so I never know what any of that stuff is. I actually found a tape, though, of my very first day on doing this show in Portland from, you know, almost 10 years ago. So I got that. We've got all that kind of stuff we're going to be bringing. I found a bunch of, we've got the T-shirts. I actually also discovered this. We had talked about that little white shot glass that said Rick Emerson Show on it that we had never seen, that we didn't know even existed. Mm-hmm. Turns out I do have one of those. I found it in the bottom of a box in my basement last night. So I will be bringing that. So anyway, so that is coming up 2 weeks from today as part of the history of the Rick Emerson Show theme. Throughout the night, we're going to be having a series of messages and greetings that are going to be sort of pre-recorded, sort of Oscar style, by people who have been part of the show over the years. So people who have been part of the Rick Emerson Show over the last 10 years, they're going to be making appearances, sometimes in person, sometimes via satellite, sometimes pre-recorded, and those will all be happening during the party. So that is 2 weeks from tonight, 7 p.m. at Barracuda, Rick Emerson Listener Party at 10. So be listening for more details on that. Without further ado, we should get to this, then we'll take a break. It's time for another exciting installment of Rick Emerson's News That Hurts. This one featuring what must be considered the worst possible way to end your life. We'll get to that. But first, a horror movie fanatic who repeatedly slashed his terrified friend with a homemade Freddy Krueger glove was jailed for life yesterday. Jason Moore was obsessed with the Nightmare on Elm Street killer and spent hours crafting various recreations of his horrific weapon. His final model featured 4 curved steel blades, each as sharp as a cutthroat razor, that were attached to a wielded brass amulet. Deranged Moore, age 37, used the glove to attack his friend John Skamarski as he slept, causing, quote, horrific slashing wound to his face, neck, and hands. He apparently was also armed with a butcher knife. It is from Oakville. Two Oakville teens have been charged after a fight left a pair of scissors lodged in one student's head. The Halton Regional Police Criminal Investigations Bureau was called in after a fight which took place late in the day at Oakville Trafalgar High School on Tuesday. Police alleged that one student was repeatedly taunting and poking the other with a meter-long stick before the second threw a pair of scissors. The scissors became lodged in the side of the first student's head, police said. That's quite a throw. The student was treated for minor injuries and released from the hospital later. Both students have been charged with assault with a weapon. They can't be identified because of the Youth Criminal Justice Act. And finally today, if you've ever asked yourself, what is the worst possible way that I could spend the last 30 minutes on planet Earth? What is the worst thing that could be done with my body after I die? I have here, from the news.com site, two men have been jailed for life for the brutal slaying of a teenager who was stabbed 133 times and decapitated before his head was used as a bowling ball. After 6 hours of deliberations, a Brisbane Supreme Court jury found James Patrick Rogan and Christopher Jones guilty of the murder of Morgan Shepherd. During the trial of almost 3 weeks, the court was told the police found Jay's headless body buried in a shallow grave following an anonymous tip-off. The jury heard that Jay, who was a resident of a youth hostel, had been drinking with both the accused at Rogan's home before a fight broke out. Prosecutor Don McKenzie said a post-mortem examination revealed that Jay had been stabbed 133 times and his head had been cut off with a small pocket knife. That really is ambition right there. That really is putting your nose to the grindstone. That's not a thing you can get done
that
in 5 or 10 minutes. That's a lot of sawing.
Man.
You got to really break 3 or 4 times before you could take yourself a good shower. Police also found a tomahawk knife, handsaw, and pruning saw stained with the victim's blood in Rogan's shed. You don't ever want anything from your body to be found in a guy's shed. If something from your body has been found in somebody's shed, things ended poorly for you. Witnesses testify that Jones told friends about the murder and how Rogan has used Jay's... Oh, God. Remember when Todd the Corpse sent us that email about the skull that we had, and he was talking about how you could live your whole life trying to be productive, trying to be a good person, and then your skull ends up being handled by some idiots on a wacky midday show? How about this? Witnesses testified that Jones told friends about the murder and how Rogan had used Jay's head as a bowling ball and a puppet. The judge called the case, quote, really weird.
End a quote. Puppet?
A puppet. Is Sarah just did the universal sign for puppet, which is where you sort of put your hands into like a senior Wences kind of a thing. All right.
Oh.
All right. Let's take a break. There's your news that hurts. Back after this with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Don't go anywhere. Well, all right there. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. You can also email me like it's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Like is a 3, Donna Mike at 7. In just a moment, we revisit the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley. This is Kevin. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I think that beer you're talking about was Heidelberg.
I swear to God there was a Rheinlander beer, but maybe I'm just making that up.
I don't know, and I don't know why I even felt the need to call you and tell you that either.
No one knows. That's okay. Why did everybody feel the need to call and weigh in on whether or not Jamie Lee Curtis has a penis or not?
Exactly.
It's just one of those things. All right, thank you, sir.
That's all I got. I'm out.
Excellent. There you go. That's Kevin. Although we did out of that inadvertently compile a whole list of schools that you apparently shouldn't pay any money to be educated at. Let's see. This is Jesse. What's up?
Hey, Rick. What's happening?
How you doing? Oh, this is Jesse from Red Hot Pistol. How you doing, man?
Not bad, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I got to tell you, we have a whole lot of zero on the lead singer submissions for your band.
Oh.
You had gotten in touch with us, and you asked to say, hey, can you find a singer for my band, blah, blah, blah. We put up the instrumental track. I think the fact that, like, I think that song that we played from the guy who submitted his stuff to you via the internet, I think it was so bad and so horrifying that I think everybody else is a little afraid to get near any of your music. I really do have to say that that's the case. I don't know that that's the reason, but I got to tell you this, that I got a big, fat, freaking nothing as far as other people who tried out for that.
Well, I had a question for Sarah. Like, sure, a couple of days after you played the worst song ever with that guy singing, Sarah mentioned she knew who the guy was.
Well, hold on. Let's just, so people know, let me just roll a little bit of this. This is some guy singing over this track from Red Hot Pistol. Hold on a second. This is just, You don't really get an appreciation just with...
You're in the lion's den.
Really, it's awful. So awful. It's one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life, not just musically, but really just in any kind of sound vibration at all.
Yeah, because I had heard... Yeah, somebody told me that it was... Is it Sydney Ruin?
No. Wait. I think so. Well, our drummer is the one that got the contact of the guy.
Okay.
Or, he contacted our drums. I don't know the guy's name. I've never met him or seen him. I'd like to find him and kill him, though.
This guy is a nut. No, he's the biggest self-promoter I've ever seen. He covered Hawthorne with flyers saying, like, best new singer ever, and put on his MySpace page.
We got emails from people who said that this guy was an actual singer and presumably not kidding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, which is sort of sad and disturbing. So,
now that I hear it again, he kind of sounds like the Sanjaya guy from American Idol.
You're in the lion's den.
I think he lacks Sanjay's lustrous and thick hair, though.
Yeah.
Doesn't really have the...
Probably. More of a mullet.
The delicate features that Sanjay has. So, yeah, I'll let you know if anything happens, but I think we may have actually terrified people, because really, who wants to be known as, you know, yeah, I'm in that band that had that guy singing on the Emerson show that was the worst thing in the history of everything, so...
Yeah, it's kind of a bad taint, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, and for Sarah, you should go to Jake's Famous Crawfish. It's a little, kind of Portland history, and it's one of the oldest places in town.
Is that the place?
It's an awesome restaurant.
It's right off of Vaseline Alley.
I hate that phrase.
Well, that's what it's called.
Can we just agree to never use that phrase again?
What else would you call the area?
I say it's right over by the Clyde Hotel.
I don't know what the Clyde Hotel is.
It's right there. It's right by Panorama. It's at the Clyde Hotel, because I told Clyde repeatedly that he got to get his photo taken in front of that. You've never seen the Clyde Hotel?
No.
It's right there. It's right across the street from, what is it,
And that's where that bathhouse is, too, isn't it?
No, that's down the street. It's the same area, but it's like there's like that, it's a Panorama, I think, is sort of kitty corner there. But there's a huge hotel, and up front is a big green neon sign. It says, The Clyde. And I keep telling Clyde to do some press photos there. So, all right, thank you, sir.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Jesse, all right. Let's see. Terry, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
Terry. Oh, I liked Vizo.
Excellent.
I went down to 23rd and Burnside.
Yes.
At the Zupans there.
Oh, yeah. That's a great place.
They have lots there. So if you have people having a hard time tracking it down, they have all the varieties.
And they do like a 3-for-5 thing there sometimes. Yeah, absolutely.
Sarah, about restaurants, are you interested in cloth napkins for your folks or paper?
Yeah,
I like to eat pretty quick. I don't like to make dinner a huge thing where it's like 3 hours long.
Is this where you pay before or after they bring you the menu?
Yeah, we're pretty fast eaters. It doesn't necessarily need to be cloth.
Okay, because I was trying to ascertain, my friend and I, we eat out around town because we're both retired, and I would think I had a pretty good grip on food and restaurants.
Now, are you paying for this, Sarah? Is this theoretically, is this dinner that's coming out of your bank account?
All right. We'll see.
We might be better off with paper napkins.
Because the Paragon down at 13th and Hoyt gives you good bang for the buck. Cloth napkins and very tasty food.
And is it relatively inexpensive?
I found it to be so.
The key is to try to fool...
East side or west side?
13th and Hoyt.
The key here is we're trying to fool her parents into believing she's made a wise career choice. Yeah. That's really the key. When Sarah's parents are going outside.
The studio is deceptive because it looks so nice
in here. The studio makes it look as though we are flush with cash. Yes, it makes us look as though we're not about to be fired at any given moment.
I used to live down the street from Sailors, and I stopped frequenting them after a while because food violations.
Yeah, I need to talk my parents out of that one.
All right. Thank you. That's Terry. As many people have mentioned that, they're like, well, I don't know, there was some unpleasantness. That's all people will say.
Well, the Dirty Dotting people don't show up from Fox 12.
You totally. Know,
taking your parents to a decent place.
Exactly. This is some guy that, are you feeding your children poison tonight? All right, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, he is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Federalized with Clint Pendleton. Apparently so, Cameron Federline, the brother of singer Kevin, has been arrested in Pendleton for giving alcohol to minors. He gets 5 days in prison. And this Federline also graduated from Pendleton High School. In the meantime, Brittany and Kevin are so desperate to finish up their financial ties, they slash more than $1 million out the asking price with their Malibu mansion. Now they only want $11.9 million. Originally, they wanted $13.5 million. And from American Idol last night, Michael Bublé appears to catch Ryan Seacrest off guard with this question.
There Mrs. Seacrest?
Please wait for the device to be front. One moment, please. Please bear with me. Okay, let's try this again. Singer Michael Bublé appears to catch Ryan Seacrest off guard with this question.
Can I just ask you one question before I go?
Yeah, we've got
time.
Sure.
Am I wasting my votes by still voting for Anthony LaBarba? Because
no, I do the same thing.
I don't get it.
All right.
I guess you had to watch for the rest of the kids.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy.
Scotty,
you know what
you can
say, except
you're not going to amount to that squad.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Scotty J, if you will please enter the Rick Emerson studio. Our intrepid.
Scotty was just showing me some pictures of his vacation with his family.
Really? I bet that was exciting.
It was pretty. They went to the Busch Gardens.
Mm-hmm. Scotty J, our intrepid PA, joining us now in the studio. Hello, sir, and how are you on this fine Thursday?
Super.
Are you really?
No.
Okay. What's wrong?
What's that?
Why are you not doing it? What's wrong?
Oh, I'm just kind of...
Hungover?
Yeah.
How many days out of the week would you say you're hungover? On a five...
Are you hungover today?
Yeah.
On
wow.
a five-day...
I'm getting better at this.
On the Monday through Friday work week, how many of those days would you say you're hungover?
Hey, the minute that Sanjaya stayed on that show last night, I cracked open the bottle.
You begin drinking. All right. So, now, please to be explaining. Tim, would you play this sound cut again? As we're here inside the news segment, Scotty, we need you to explain something to us. So Tim's going to replay this cut, and then I want you to explain what this means.
Can I just ask you one question before I go?
Yeah, we have time.
Sure. Am I wasting my votes by still voting for Anthony LaBarba?
No, I do the same thing.
Okay, what does that mean?
Because she's an absolute babe, and she got booted off the show before the final 12.
Or...
Yeah, I think I'm right. I don't think she made the top 12.
So she's some girl that got voted up weeks ago?
Yeah, and she's the one that actually we had news about that she had some nude photos, remember?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, excellent. All right. And so, I wonder what happens if you vote for somebody who's no longer on there. What if you get charged for that?
It doesn't work that way. You can only vote and text this specific number. So
but, I mean,
there's only 10 people there. There's only 10 different numbers.
But there's a phone number you can call. You can vote via phone, right?
Right, but you can't just put in some random number for something that doesn't exist.
But when you call, does it cost to vote via the phone?
Yeah, but it's texting, right? You just
No. But I'm saying when you vote, like, is there a number,
dollar.
Like
okay.
a phone number you call? Can
right.
you vote over the phone? Not a text message. Can you call a phone number to vote?
I don't believe you can. You can go on to the
internet. You can
internet
only vote via text?
Or the internet.
So there's no phone number you can call?
I don't think so. Yeah. Because the number you call is a texting number.
That doesn't make any
sense. There's no number to call and talk to somebody.
So if you don't have a cell phone, you can't vote?
Well,
you don't really know. You don't watch this program.
No, you need a cell phone to do that, but you can go online and vote.
Okay, here's what I'm asking. If I'm a guy who is sitting at home, and I don't have a cell phone or a computer, can I vote?
No.
Really?
I don't think
I think you're making that up.
No, because it's a money-making thing, too. We were talking about this.
Yeah, but you couldn't call on Rockstar. You said a text message.
If I'm not mistaken.
But it seems like they're passing over a huge amount of money if they don't. It seems like they're passing up money if they don't let you vote with a regular phone line.
Right. Well, check this out. If I'm not mistaken, I think Ryan Seacrest said 30 million people voted for this last round where Sanjaya made it. 30 million times a dollar is a lot of cash. So those guys are making
Did you really just say that?
They're making big bucks on this every week.
And just in case you're playing the home game there, 30 million times a dollar is...
Yeah, I don't know the answer.
Really?
No, I know the answer.
What is it?
32 mil.
Don't be an ass.
30.
All right. The long pause before he said, it's a lot of cash. All right. I don't know if these are American Idol calls or not. Hello, sir. Or ma'am, as the case may be. All right. The radio's still up. You got to not have the radio on. Hello. What? Okay. Thanks. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, I was just calling to say have Sarah go to the Delta Cafe on Woodstock.
Oh, I like the Delta.
It's fantastic.
Is it reopened? Because I tried to go there a few weeks ago. Yeah, they were remodeling or something.
Oh, well, I'm wrong.
All right.
I don't know.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. I'm trying to get an answer to this American Idol thing because it's bothering me. So I'm going to go through these calls real quickly. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Am I on?
Yes. Yes, you are, sir.
Hey, how you doing? Sarah, you need to go to Sizzler. They haven't had any health violations for a while.
It's true. Yes. You got to say it like this, though. You got to do it the old school. Sizzler.
Now, see, that's kind of middle of the road and still affordable.
There's nothing middle of the road about Sizzler. All right, let's see. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Oh, for the love of sweet Christ almighty, hello.
I used to be a dishwasher for Sizzler.
Really?
And they had sizzling plates, too. Do you remember those? That the steak would come out on a plate actually sizzling.
The best part is when people call in and they can hear, I can hear the radio in the background. What do they just, do people call and then just set the phone down and walk away? I can hear the show on in the background. Why would they call in and not keep the phone with them? Why would they just set the phone down and leave the room? Anyway. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. All right, this is fantastic. These phones get better every day. Rick Emerson Show, hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Jim.
Hi, Jim, how can I help you?
I think every single contestant on American Idol has a different phone number that you can call in and vote on, no matter what kind of phone you
have. All right, that's what I'm saying. So you can call, you can vote via the phone line.
Yes.
Okay.
Each contestant has a different last four digits to their phone number.
Now, is it just now, do they charge you? I know that everybody else in the country knows this, but do they charge you to vote via just a regular call-in?
Yes.
Like, if you just pick up the phone?
Yes, there is a charge.
All right, excellent. All right, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go.
However, you can't call Antonella.
You
can't call her.
You didn't even think you could vote via phone until 10 seconds ago.
Well, I know, but I'm getting confused with the last four digits. I always thought that had to do something with the text. The texting.
It's amazing that you even know how to drive a car sometimes. It really is. All right. So, now, when we were playing these Sanjaya cuts earlier, though, you were just going mental about it on the screen. You were just...
Because he is just absolutely horrible, and he has this smirk on his face, and I don't even think he realizes how bad he is, and he just keeps getting voted to stay there.
See, let me tell you this.
It's unbelievable.
And I think, it's well established on this program that we're not big, except for you, that we're not big American Idol fans. We just don't watch it. I'm not above it. I'm not better than it. It's just something I don't watch. That we're not American Idol watchers. But I have to say, it really is people like you. It is that reaction that makes me care about it. That's the thing. That's what makes it so great. Just the idea that just every... Because I can just see you sitting at home. Now, do you actually talk back to the television? Do you sit at home and curse him, Sanjaya, on the television when he's performing?
Yeah, I was watching it with my kids last night, and...
Do they hate him or do they like him?
My daughter literally hates him, and she's like 12.
Now, what does she hate about him?
I don't know. I never went that far as to ask her what exactly she hates.
Because girls seem to be a lot of that guy's fan base.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing.
The chicks are into him because he seems... And they like him, I think, because he's getting kicked around so much. I think that teenage girls, like 12, 13-year-old girls, they like him because he's sort of pretty looking and because he just is getting so battered. And so it's that whole girls thing of like wanting to take him home and give him a bowl of soup or something, you know?
Yeah. On the other hand, then there's a website out there to vote for the worst. So.
Right, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Which is, now, have you voted in this?
No, you I haven't. Did last
you
year.
You haven't even voted against him? You haven't even voted to try to get him off?
Oh, what a waste of... Like I said, 30 million people voted. Why am I going to spend a dollar?
See, is he annoying to watch? Because I've never seen him moving. I've just seen just pictures of him.
Does he is worse you, than a karaoke
does
guy.
Does he irritate you because he is effeminate?
No.
You sure?
No, he's actually a good-looking guy, I guess, but he looks like he's 12,
yeah.
For one.
Well, he's only 17.
Okay.
I mean, he's not even 18 yet, so... He's not the worst singer in the world.
No, though. He's pretty bad.
No, he's... There have been... Look, even I know that there have been people on American Idol who are way worse than him. He's no William Hung. William Hung is the gold standard. That guy, that Sanjaya guy, is just sort of... He's just sort of...
Is he just off-key? I've never heard
yeah,
of him.
Yeah, he's just not great. He's just sort of bad. He's not terrible. I think that this is like... Everybody is sort of treating him like he's the worst thing since Ebola, and he's really not that awful, in my opinion.
But if you were to go to a karaoke bar and listen to some people that are just so-so, that's him. And why is he, like, down to the top nine
now? Is he in? Is it now the top eight? Is he number eight?
Somewhere
so he's going to go on tour. So that's the thing. There's just no
well,
getting around it, right?
12 go on tour.
That's fantastic. See, that's what's great. That's what, I mean, it really does. It, I will say this. If it is, and I'm the first to admit that it may just be a big marketing scam on their part. The American Idol people, they probably are perpetuating this. In fact, Jim Roop's going to talk to us about this in a few minutes. See, they probably are perpetuating this just because they know that it gets guys like you so cranked up, and it gets people so into wanting to vote for other people to get that guy off the show. That almost, I probably wouldn't even watch the show. I might actually just vote without even watching it. You know what I mean? Screw voting the show. I'll know when the voting window opens, and I'll vote several times just to see everybody else irritated at him. I mean, it's just fascinating. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Okay. Excellent. And Rick Emerson Show. Okay, fantastic.
Let's just stop taking calls right now.
Well,
let's
you know,
that,
no,
you
it's
keep getting more and more angry.
I'm not angry. It's become
you are.
Amusing. Let's take a bet on whether somebody will be on line four. Sarah?
Yes.
Scotty?
$1.
Why?
Because okay. That's from Trading Places, right?
Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, this is Ethan.
Hi, Ethan. How you doing?
Hey, can you hear me now? Yeah.
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to say that Scotty is full of crap.
Okay.
Hey, Scotty.
How's it going?
There is an 800 number to call.
Okay, great.
Just so you know, I don't like Sanjaya. He's not a good singer. He's just blah. He's not horrible. He's just boring.
Okay, and apparently somebody says they do. You can call, and there's an 800 number. But it's I'm unclear now. Does it cost something? Because I'm curious about the money making factor on this.
The generic just 800 phone call does not cost anything.
Now, do they make all of their money on the texting, though? Is that the deal? Because it's easier for people, or people are more inclined to text?
I'm not even sure how much American Idol makes on that, but Singular is one of the sponsors of the show.
And so it's a buck every time somebody votes?
Something like that, yes.
Rick. Let's see. So somebody says that they said that you can call in. The call number for Idol is toll free. This is charged for texting. Please, can we vote to send Scotty home? All right. Thank you, Ethan. All right, I appreciate
thanks,
it.
Rip.
I'm surprised you don't watch it because Simon is actually, I really dig that guy.
I admire the fact that they've made $30 million dollars on text messages in one night. I mean, that's pretty impressive. I mean, I got to kind of give it up to anybody who can does that.
And I also saw Carrie Underwood win that one year, and then we went and saw her here at the Rose Garden. So, I mean, it produces stars.
Rick, does Scotty know that his reaction to Sanjaya is equivalent to how most of the audience feels every time Scotty J's voice comes out of our speakers?
Just thought you'd
like to know. I'm just passing along the messages. All right, I'll do one more and then we'll break here. Rick, I'm a little more knowledgeable about American Idol than I care to admit, so let me help you out. Voters do not get charged when they call in to vote. It's an 866 number and it's free. However, there is a charge for texting, but it's the normal text charge. I'm here to answer American Idol questions should you need me. Fantastic. All right. We should take a break here. We'll come back. Jim Roop around the corner. Later on, Sarah's parents will be in the studio. We have the top five as well and this toilet story. So don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. You stay right there.